Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Cara, acne can be tough. Whether your kid is just starting to get breakouts or has been struggling with them for years, there's a great product that can help.
Phyla is the ultimate game changer. It tackles acne right at its root cause, rebalancing the skin's bacteria and packing it with probiotic phages.
Phyla harnesses the superpowers of probiotics, tiny warriors targeting and wiping out the acne-causing bacteria. In studies, Phyla slashed acne-causing bacteria by a whopping 90%.
Phyla doesn't just fix acne you can see. It stops new breakouts in their tracks. It has no harsh chemicals and won't irritate or dry most skin. Phyla's three-step system is like a dermatologist-approved magic potion. Cleanse, apply serum, and moisturize twice a day.
As a special treat for our listeners, you can grab 25% off your first order of Phyla. Head over to phylabiotics.com, enter code PUBERTY at checkout, and kickstart your family's journey to acne-free skin. Check out the link in our show notes for quick access.
Hi, I'm Cara Natterson.
And I'm Vanessa Kroll Bennett.
And we are obsessed with flipping puberty positive.
Puberty is a stage of life best described as a roller coaster of physical and emotional shifts. It happens to literally every human being on Earth. And it shouldn't be cringy. It should feel, you know, pretty comfortable.
Which is why we started this podcast and a newsletter, and why we film slightly ridiculous but informative social media videos.
It's why we have a brand that makes clothes that literally feel so comfortable, and why we write books too. Our latest is This Is So Awkward, Modern Puberty Explained.
We have built a universe of puberty positivity, and it all started with this podcast.
We are so happy that you're here.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Cara.
I'm a band author.
Oh my goodness.
That I know. I've been waiting. I've been
very
like,
exciting.
It is kind of exciting. I mean, it's so upsetting, but I've been waiting to be on this list. And hello, here I am. Actually, I'm on this list with Valerie Schaefer.
Great company to be in.
The best, the original author of The Care and Keeping of You, because it is The Care and Keeping of You that has been banned. I'm sure elsewhere, if anyone knows of where else it's been banned, share it. But I got a news alert last week that Huntington Beach, which is a community very close to my home, Huntington Beach apparently passed a very controversial measure last October. The vote was 4-3. And it was a measure that called for librarians to review books that are, quote, dedicated to the human body, health, and puberty. Okay. And that covered what they considered sexual content. And I'm going to read a little bit from the article that covers this. It's on the LAist website. LAist is one of the NPR stations in LA. And so you can look up the article if you want, but it's so incredible. Okay. The librarians told LAist that they had been instructed to move any books out of the children's section showing body parts that typically would be covered by a bathing suit. So they call this the bathing suit rule. Okay. If that's not upsetting enough, in the first half hour, they had 41 books on their cart. Okay, now there's a picture in the article. Vanessa, do you know what the top book is in the picture? Like, there's a stack of all these books. Do you know what the book on the top is?
No. What?
Once Upon a Potty.
Oh my God.
Yes. So let's just stop for a second and talk about how a potty training book has been deemed sexual.
Like a line drawing cartoon potty training book.
Okay.
Which I must have read like 4 million times. Okay.
So we are in good company. Other titles that had been removed included It's Perfectly Normal, Bunk Nine's Guide to Growing Up, On Your Period, and The Girl's Body Book. Okay.
Can we just do a shout out to Roby Harris, who just passed away, sadly? Yeah.
Let's just shout out to every one of these authors. We are all on a quest to give accessible, science-based, helpful, healthful information. And Roby Harris led the way on so much of that. Okay, now back to my rant. There's a lot of confusion about what sexual content is. This article leans on a Wikipedia definition, which I'm not sure I would do that, but the Wikipedia definition of sexual content includes explicit and implicit sexual behavior, such as flirting, okay, or that includes sexual language and euphemism, okay? And the librarians were told to use the bathing suit rule and to apply definitions like this, and they are trying to figure it out. Why am I ranting? Like, what's the main point of my rant? It's not that we are featured in a banned book list, which, I mean, I could go on and on, and all hail Judy Blume, who not only was another, like, obviously, the mother of all of these books in so many ways, right? Judy Blume, such an incredible trailblazer, but also has led the fight against banned books for many, many years. And if anyone watched the documentary about Judy Blume, you learned about her bookstore in Florida that actually carries all these banned. I mean, she's just like the best. One day I'll meet her, one day. But my rant goes here. Could these people who spend all this time and energy banning books that show body parts that we all have and ban information about how to identify those body parts, care for those body parts, keep them clean, keep them safe, and keep them away from predators. Could these people redirect their energy, please, to online porn? Because if they took all of their time and all of their venom and redirected it to the porn that is being delivered to their children on their phones or on their laptops or on their Discord servers, I think this would be a better use of the energy. Okay, I'm going to stop. Go, Vanessa.
Take a deep breath.
Oh,
it's actually quite funny because I posted something on Instagram about how I think the way we're going to take down Pornhub is all of the fan fiction being written about the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce Super Bowl romance, and that all of that content is going to push Pornhub so far out of the consciousness. And that post got blocked. I had people trying to send that post to their children. And because I had the words Pornhub in the post, they could not share the post.
Let me get this straight. So they can't block porn for kids under 18, but they can block the word Pornhub for everyone.
In a post about taking down Pornhub. Oh my God.
I should add in my rant, because I'm so obviously so hot.
She's not done yet.
I'm not done yet. All of those books, including Once Upon a Potty, were moved to the adult book section for people over 18. It's not like they were thrown away.
They were just reshelved. Moved.
So good to know that my 18-year-old son can read about potty training now.
Can potty train, which, I mean, for any of you who have teenage boys living in your house, you can appreciate how maybe you could have done a better job potty training based on the amount of piss all around the toilet and yet not in the toilet. So that's another conversation for another time. So let's parse this a little bit, because really, what this episode is about, besides our shared indignation that a seminal, critical, beautiful, thoughtful book like The Care and Keeping of You and everything that followed, which has helped millions and millions and millions of people navigate the uncertainty and the enormous vat of questions about puberty and growing up. The fact that that is banned gets at the fear in our culture of accurately naming body parts, talking about body functions and interpersonal behaviors that relate to our bodies, and that ultimately the fact that knowledge about these things keeps people safer. And yet, in an effort, and I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt that their goal is to keep people safe by banning these books, which obviously
I don't agree with.
But all of the research tells us that when kids and when people know the names of their body parts and how their bodies work and how to talk to trusted adults about their bodies, they are safer. So in an effort to, quote, keep kids safer, these people banning these books are actually making these kids less safe.
I mean, I'm going to go to the very famous boob pages in The Care and Keeping of You, which were authored and illustrated by Valerie and the American Girl team. Those pages were first published in 1998, pages 44 and 45 of The Care and Keeping of You. I think those are the original page numbers. But you open it up and there are images of the Tanner stages, how breasts go from super flat, nothing, just nipples on a flat chest wall, to breast buds, that's stage one, stage two, to stage three, to stage four, to fully adult breasts in stage five. Those are the Tanner stages of breast development. That is a very science-based concept of what happens as your body shifts and changes. I cannot tell you the number of kids who have told me they stood in front of the mirror for hours and hours collectively, for hours and hours on end, trying to figure out what stage they were in, feeling so seen by these pages, okay? We live in a culture where breast cancer awareness is rates very high. That's a good thing, okay? That we are very aware of a disease that, if picked up early, is treatable. And now we're going to tell young girls who have lumps in their breasts, the definition of breast buds, that they can't read a book that tells them that this is normal. And yet they can continue to grow up in a culture that is fear-based about lumps in your breast. I mean, it's like, that is one small example of the damage that is done when you pull access to good basic information away from young readers, right? You know, I do agree with you. I think it's fine to give people the benefit of the doubt because I really, no matter what their political, social, cultural background is, I really have never met a parent or an adult raising a kid who doesn't want what's best for that kid. But it feels incumbent for us. It is our job in this podcast to help people see what does and doesn't actually keep them safe.
Right.
And to your point, the data that is super, super clear is that information creates less stress, creates more open communication, and protects kids from predation because predators who are grooming kids do not want to have anything to do with a kid who clearly has an adult or a group of adults with whom they can have open conversations, because they're going to have open conversations about that predator with those adults too. So, like, okay, if you're of the mind that book bans are going to keep your kids safer, what else can we do, Vanessa, to hammer home the point?
Well, if you're in a community that is banning books and you are, I don't know, supportive of that, I can't imagine anyone listening to this podcast is supportive of it. But
not exactly our target demo.
What I will say is, like, it's on you. Like, if you are not going to buy these books or, you know, furnish kids with these books or make them available, then you're going to have to sit down and homeschool your kid bit by bit. And I mean that a little facetiously because I'm married to an Englishman, and in England, your bits are your private parts, are your genitals.
Thank you for translating that joke.
I wasn't sure everyone would get that.
No one got that. Yeah, no one got it.
So then you've got to like pull out the encyclopedia and show them, you know, internal and external male and female reproductive organs and breasts, and you have to explain reproduction to them, and you have to explain to them all of the ins and outs of growing, developing bodies and all the questions that come up. I mean, there's a reason why books are written about this, because it is multi-layered, complex information, many of which pieces of information a lot of adults weren't taught, which is why these books exist in the first place, because it's a lot.
But it turns out that you can go to the adult section of the Huntington Beach Library and check those books out for yourself to educate
your
kids.
Well, that's in Huntington Beach because they're so close to LA, so they can't just burn the books. They have to just move them to the adult section. There are big parts of this country where they do not get moved to the adult section. They get chucked, right? They get banned fully, wholly, and completely. And so many of you know that we have built this school curriculum, and it's awesome, and we're so excited. We have our first school starting to use it. But what many of you—
It's called That Health Class, because it's, you know, That Health Class.
With a little bit of an eye roll. But what many of you do not know, maybe none of you know, is that we are— am I allowed to say it? Am I allowed to talk about it?
Do it.
We have built and are building a parent membership that provides all this information for families, because people can't
get it
on
at the Huntington Beach Library.
You can't get it at the Huntington Beach Library or in entire states. And you can't count on your school to provide this information, as well-intentioned as schools are. So we're creating it because people need this information. And one of the biggest questions we get asked, Cara, and this gets back to your original rant. There have been a few since the original, but from the original rant.
What was in my coffee, huh?
Which is, also I'm drinking iced coffee in the middle of February, so we can talk about that later. What is it? Like, people are banning books. They are removing science-based, vetted, edited, safe material from libraries, and yet kids are getting their sex and health education from pornography. They're getting it from not science-based, from places where people's bodies have been surgically altered and enhanced, from places where there is incredible violence and misogyny. I mean, kids turn to porn for sex ed because they're not getting it other places. And it's like the worst place for them to get this information.
Vanessa, we literally have 3 minutes to eat lunch every day. I am not joking. And the challenge is how to make it delicious and healthy and still fit into that tiny window. Our answer is Factor's ready-to-eat meals. They have been a godsend.
We throw our Factor meals in the microwave. It takes 2 minutes, and out comes a gorgeous, fresh, never-frozen meal. We both love the tamale vegetarian one. It's delish. There's a ton of options every week. There's 60 add-ons, breakfast, snacks, beverages. I love doing the wellness shots with my kids. They think it's hilarious, and I know they're getting vitamins and minerals in their bodies.
So get meals on your table or at your desk in 2 minutes or less. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. You can customize with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can press pause or reschedule depending upon your lifestyle.
So to order, go to factormeals.com/puberty50 and use the code puberty50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That code is puberty50 at factormeals.com/puberty50 to get 50% off your first box, 20% off your next box. And I am going to go do that right now because I need more Factor meals in my refrigerator. Cara, lately I have been lying awake at night. I'm physically exhausted, but I can't sleep because my mind is so wired with everything going on between work and my family. So I've added Magnesium Breakthrough to my nightly routine, and it actually helps calm my mind. It helps me get better sleep, and I wake up feeling better rested. I'm less cranky, and I'm more patient with my family and with you.
Oh, I've noticed. And it's because, unlike other magnesium supplements that might give one or two formulations of magnesium, Magnesium Breakthrough has seven. That's why you're sleeping so well and waking up refreshed. Now, dietary supplementation is always best, Vanessa. So that means eating your minerals and vitamins is the best way to get them in. But if you can't or you don't get enough, Magnesium Breakthrough is the way to go. It can also help digestion, though too much helps your digestion too much, which is not a good thing. It can support muscle recovery. So bye-bye, Charlie horses. And it helps build dense bones, which is especially important for women approaching and in menopause.
We have an exclusive offer for our listeners. You can go to buyoptimizers.com/puberty, buyoptimizers.com/puberty. And you can use the code PUBERTY10 during checkout to save 10%. That promo code is PUBERTY10 at buyoptimizers.com/puberty. Your body and brain and family and business partner will thank you.
Cara, my kids love Magic Spoon cereal, and even though it's cereal, they actually love it as a homework snack. The variety pack has four flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter, and fruity is the favorite flavor in my house.
Now, this pack has 0 grams of sugar, between 13 and 14 grams of protein, and between 4 and 5 grams of net carbs per serving. It's made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and it's high in protein, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So a great choice, Vanessa.
You can go to magicspoon.com/puberty to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our, you guessed it, promo code PUBERTY at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident you're going to love their product. It's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money. No questions asked. They do not want you to send their cereal back to them.
Try a bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/puberty and use the code PUBERTY to save $5. Thank you for taking us back to that very, very central point. Because that's the point, is if we are going to determine that some information is bad, right? And there's a judgment being placed upon this information that it is not appropriate for younger kids, then it is our responsibility as a society to examine all of the ways in which kids are getting this information and to figure that out. You know, Gail Dines has done a ton of work through her organization, Culture Reframed, not just educating kids and parents about pornography, but working very hard to figure out how the United States can age gate pornography. You know, you and I write a lot about porn. We've done episodes on this podcast about porn. We have modules in our curriculum about porn. We have scripts for parents about talking about porn, right? And what do we say at the outset every single time? It's entertainment that is designed for adults, period, full stop. We are not judging any adults that choose to use porn. That's a whole different conversation. Where we come in is it is not sex education. First of all, it is not inclusive. Second of all, it is not representative of all kinds of sex, let alone the kinds of sex you hope your kids will one day have. And third of all, it's not instructive. It doesn't teach you body part names or self-pleasure or any of the things that can...
I mean, it teaches you some body part names, but not the names you're hoping your kids...
Yeah, well, fair enough. Those are also British terms. Bits and parts. But so I think you bring up something really important. And Gail has been working very hard to try to figure out if we can require age gating for online gambling, can we not require age gating for the porn that is delivered to your kid's device, fill in the blank device, whatever that device is. Like, What is going on? If we can have ChatGPT now, as of yesterday, have memory and be able to remember the, you know, trip that you tried to plan on ChatGPT 6 months ago and serve you up suggestions 6 months from now, can we not have a very simple age gate on pornography?
But I mean, can I just say as an aside that ChatGPT function seems particularly targeted for middle-aged women on the cusp of menopause or in menopause?
You mean it remembers what we don't? That's a whole other episode.
Can ChatGPT remember why I walk from one room to the other and then get in the room and have no idea why I'm there?
No, but ChatGPT 5 will be able to do that.
Great.
That is great. Anyone from SNL, write a skit about that.
So if you are in a community, if you're, by the way, librarians, and we should say this, librarians have been the greatest champions of the care and keeping.
Greatest.
And not only that, but we hear from librarians all the time about our book and how wonderful it was, about sex ed in general. Librarians know what information kids are seeking, and they have total empathy for the curiosity and hunger that kids have to learn more. So when we talk about this, this is not an indictment of the librarians in question.
In fact, they're in a terrible position.
Terrible.
Because they are required to follow the law.
Right. They are a public institution. But if you are in a community where, you know, these kinds of conversations are happening, where these kinds of laws are being enacted, yes, you can advocate in your community and you can advocate for how having this appropriate information available to kids helps keep them safer. And also, you're going to have to do more on your own, and you're going to have to fill in where books in the library can't, where sex ed may not, and you're going to have to take that on. So we are here for you in doing that. We want to hear your questions. We want to hear where you're struggling to address these things. I mean, we know talking about porn is a big question for parents, which is why, but also maybe talking about why these books are so important. Maybe that's part of the conversations you want to have with fellow parents. I had a really interesting question from someone I know the other day whose kid was about to embark on sex ed class, fifth grader.
So really it's like the hygiene class and the body parts class.
Well,
but go on.
But what's interesting is they only get one lesson in fifth grade, and it's not, they don't talk about it. I was like, oh, so they're going to like gently go into hygiene, and then maybe they'll move into nutrition and exercise, and then they'll talk about friendships. And she's like, no, it was 1 hour and they were going straight for reproduction, and the school only gave them, I think, 48 hours notice that this class was happening. And she freaked out.
Strategy.
Because, and I understand why the school, because they're like, we don't want to deal with all these crazy parents who are like, what are you teaching my kids? Don't teach them that. I don't want them to know about that. And the school's like, no, but they have to know about that. But this mom was like, I want to have the conversation first. But then she was like, I don't know if I did it right. And I don't know if I gave him too much or not enough. So then when he came home, I was like, was it in line? Is this what? And she was so relieved to know, yes. And they had, this is what they'd covered, and she'd covered the same thing. But we are flying blind, many of
us. What I love about that story, the conversation was the conversation okay? And that's a great conversation to have with a kid.
Right.
Like, how did I do? Tell me how it compared to what you learned. Anyone who's looking for a way into what did you learn in school today when the kids have that class, do that. That's a great way in.
Yes, because then you're not like, was it fun? It's like, no. The answer's never going to be, it was fun. Did you learn so many interesting things? Okay, kid's not going to answer that. But if it's an opportunity for them to give us feedback on how we did, you bet your butt they're going to give us feedback. And so we were laughing about all of the worries and permutations that go into these, having these conversations, and then weighing them against when you live in a larger community and the different needs and preferences and cultures and ideologies that make up any given school community. And, you know, there I am laughing because I'm like, well, you know, like our book is like so full of this that it's so funny to think about it. But this is the calculus that every family has to go through. And we don't judge people for where they are, where their families are, where their communities are. Like, we all make different choices, but we have to give the kids information one way or another.
And one thing that I think listeners can do is, in the same way that when the book Lean In came out, they encouraged Lean In circles where people talked about all this amongst themselves, create groups of friends. Do a parent's night out, a mom's night out, whatever it's going to be, and cover some of this ground. What do you say? How did you do it? I mean, Vanessa, you and I learn every single day from people who call in or write in, from books that we read. We're interviewing someone later today who wrote a book about how we see and talk to girls in our society that I will tell you, I've read a zillion of these books. This one was like no other I'd ever read. Very excited to tease the podcast in this way. You'll have to listen in order to hear the interview. But it's like, I learned so much. And I've been doing this for a really, really long time. We learn from each other when we listen and when we open up. So have a conversation, especially if you live in Huntington Beach. Like, okay, go out and have a drink and talk about what's happening in your library and then get active. If you have something to say or you have a feeling about this, if we all just accept these things blindly, you know, that's how the world evolves in a direction that doesn't feel okay. So, you know how they say, if you see something, say something. If you see something educational that doesn't feel right to you, say something. Because right now, the people who are saying something are the people who don't like the teaching, and the people who want the teaching are not getting vocal enough. And I think that's really where we can land this conversation. Like, you know, you do you, you have your opinions, but if your opinions are aligned with ours, you know, if you believe
the data,
yeah, right? You're right. And say something. If you believe the science and you believe the data that kids are safer when they know their body parts, and there's nothing sexual about learning about puberty and what is happening in a transforming body, say something.
And I just realized our first workshop in our membership should be, what is the conversation you have with your kid?
There it is.
Before they have their first health ed or sex ed class at school.
Love it.
And
done.
So we'll do that when we're done recording.
Only. Members only.
Do we have to get members only jackets for our membership? Workshops.
Of course.
And some of you might be wondering what we're going to call the membership. That's an excellent question. And we'll get back to you when we know the answer to that.
Please hold.
Stay tuned, folks. So, Cara, mazel tov on writing a banned book that has been so incredibly helpful. I mean, you cannot believe what it's like to be on a Zoom call with Cara or in a room with Cara when all of the young people figure out that she wrote The Care and Keeping of You. It's like Taylor Swift has nothing on Cara. These people are like so excited and so in awe of her. And if you need any other proof that these books help people so much, and that's not even when Valerie's in the room, and Valerie's a total badass in her own right. So when the
queen,
two of them...
I wonder if Taylor Swift read The Care and Keeping of You. You know?
I know. Find out.
Right?
Let's find out.
Mic
if
drop.
Anyone knows the answer to that, also write in. So, Cara, congratulations on writing a banned book. You know what's interesting is our book isn't banned yet.
Yeah.
So far as we know.
Yet.
Maybe we should call the Huntington Beach Library and find
it. Flag it. It's like when Hollywood stars who are aspiring to be more well-known call the paparazzi and they say, oh, I know that so-and-so is going to be in such and such a place. Yeah, we could do that about our book and the Huntington Beach Library.
Okay, that's our next episode.
Bye, Vanessa.
Bye, Cara. We absolutely love hearing your feedback and getting all your questions. So anytime you want to be in touch, email us at thepubertypodcast@gmail.com. If you're looking for great puberty products like the Oom shorts or the Oom socks or the Oom bra, you get the theme there, go to myoomla.com. If you want more content, you love what we do on the Puberty Podcast, and you want to have us come speak or learn more about our book or subscribe to our amazing newsletter, The Awkward Roller Coaster, go to orderofmagnitude.co. Remember, it's .co because we don't have enough money to buy .com. Yet.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.